This is Stan Bennett in Washington, D.C. It's Open Lines Friday on Jay Sekulow Live. We're talking 2020 politics and socialism in America.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
You got all these guys in their three-piece suits who are now the new loan shark hoodlums that we used to see in the movies, you know? You see in the movies, the guys, I'll break your kneecap if you don't pay back. Well, yeah, well, I don't know that they break kneecaps.
But now they'll take your home.
That's right.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Today we're telling Wall Street and the payday lenders that enough is enough. Your grotesque and disgusting behavior is not acceptable in America, and we're going to change it. And this is an issue that impacts zillions of people all over this country. And I think a lot of people don't even know it. They go into a store and they buy a refrigerator. They don't know that they're paying 26% interest rates.
And now your host, Stan Bennett.
Hey, everyone. Welcome into Jay Sekulow Live. Stan Bennett coming to you from Washington, D.C. It is Open Lines Friday on the broadcast today. If you want to be a part of the broadcast, the number to call in is 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. 3110. We want to chat with you about anything that's on your mind or close to anything on your mind. We're going to talk some 2020 politics. We're going to talk about President Trump and who his eventual opponent will be. He weighed in this morning. He believes that it's going to be Joe Biden that he will face off against. Of course, there's a long way to go in that process. So we'd like to hear from you on who you think his opponent will be. We want to hear from all sides on this. Who is your favorite candidate? And maybe more importantly, what are the issues that you are most concerned about heading into this election? Which are the ones that you care about? Which are the ones that are going to animate you to go to the polls? And ultimately, who are you leaning toward at this stage of the process? We'll also talk a little bit of Senate politics, maybe some House politics. Will the Democrats hang on in the House of Representatives? Will the Republicans maintain a majority in the United States Senate? And finally, what issues are most important to you? You want to talk national security? You want to talk economic policy? You want to talk about health care policy? What is driving you? What is at the top of your list? What do you want to hear from the candidates? But I want to start with this one. You heard a little bit of this sound in the open, but what about this idea that's being pushed now, this socialist economic policy being pushed by the likes of Bernie Sanders and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez? It's actually dubbed the Loan Shark Prevention Act, which would cap interest rates at 15% on consumer credit cards. Now, I think on first glance, that might actually pull well with the American people. Of course, we want to help lower income individuals who are looking to access credit. But I am concerned, not an economist, but I am concerned that the net effect of a proposal like that would actually cause access to credit for those individuals to dry up. However, seeing as how I'm not an economist, but we do have someone on the broadcast who has extensive economic policy expertise, Professor Harry Hutchison. I want to go to Harry in this first segment of the broadcast. Harry, when you hear a proposal like this, I'm a little bracing myself a little bit for your reaction here. What do you see would be the practical effect of a proposal to limit interest rates on consumer credit to 15%?
Well, I think it would do, in effect, just the opposite. So Bernie Sanders and AOC have introduced the so-called Loan Shark Prevention Act, which would likely draw strong support from loan sharks all over the world. Why? Because essentially we would shut off credit availability for lower income Americans. This would force them into the arms of the illegal purveyors of loans and credit. This idea makes no sense, but the Democrats, they're not content with the Green New Deal, Medicare for all, college forgiveness that favors the rich, college loan programs that favor the rich. They now have an unlimited source of supply of bad ideas that defy economics.
Yeah, I think the proposals are fraught with challenges and dangers. But look, we want to hear from you. Do you agree, disagree, have a different perspective, want to talk about another issue? 1-800-684-3110. Would a credit card interest cap work? I'm going to talk with Andy after the break. There's some argument to be made that you should actually have a credit rate interest minimum, a floor. That might make things healthier. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to be a part of the broadcast. And we'll be right back after this break.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. It's called the Loan Shark Prevention Act, and it is the latest plank in the platform of democratic socialism that's being advanced by Senator Bernie Sanders. I don't know, maybe this is a response to the recent polls that are coming out. We'll get into some of the polling and the numbers later in the broadcast, but it looks like Joe Biden has doubled up Bernie Sanders in the latest New Hampshire poll. It's actually worse than that on a national scene, so maybe Bernie Sanders is trying to get some attention here, but his proposal, he's partnered with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez to put this proposal forward, would be a cap on the interest rates of consumer credit cards to 15%. And I think this is going to get a lot of favorable reaction from the American people initially when they first read that. They think, yes, let's provide some relief to those who are struggling to meet their bills, living paycheck to paycheck. But I think we need to go a little bit deeper, because part of the reason that we have historic access to credit in this country is because credit issuers have been able to properly price that risk. And I want to bring Professor Harry Hutchison, who's done a lot of academic research and work in this area during his career, in to explain some of this. Harry, you can't just look at a situation where someone already has a credit burden and maybe the interest burden that they are carrying as the roadmap for a policy solution. You also have to look at what is incentivizing or disincentivizing people to take on credit and who is paying the costs that are associated with that risk. So I am concerned that if a proposal like this were to take root, you would actually hurt the lowest rung of the income scale. They would not have access to credit, and quite frankly, through other fees and measures, that credit would actually become expensive. But since you're the expert on this, what say you?
Well, I think your analysis is very, very sound. One of the quintessential issues is the default risk associated with extending credit. So if you cap the interest rate and the default risk remains the same, then those issuers of credit can do a couple of things. Number one, they can cut off credit from individuals that have a high default risk. That's number one. Number two, they can seek to raise interest rates on, let's say, wealthy or above average income consumers. Now, the wealthy have access to a literal stream of alternatives available. So they will then move away from credit cards, and then either the banks will face a higher risk of default themselves going forward, and then this will lead the United States government, we've done it in the past, to bail out the banks. That is a horrific idea. But the real problem, Fan, is that the left-wing Democrats. They have a laundry list of bad ideas that defy economics, from college loan forgiveness to the Green New Deal to Medicare for all. This would simply, at the end of the day, cost the American taxpayer, and it would cost many individuals who are actually creditworthy the opportunity to access credit. And as I've indicated previously, that would then expose them to the risk of dealing with loan shark operators. Keep in mind, loan sharking is already illegal in the United States. And essentially, what Bernie Sanders and AOC are doing is that they are making loan sharking, if their proposal passes, more profitable.
Yeah, a cap on an interest rate doesn't really do a consumer a whole lot of good if they can't access the credit in the first place. We actually do have some calls coming in. One has a slightly different point of view. And Matt, I'm going to come to you in just a minute. But first of all, to set it up, I wanted to play a piece of sound from Bernie Sanders because it speaks to something that Andy mentioned a minute ago. And Andy, I'll get your response to this after we play the sound. But you said one of the priorities of the federal government, or one of the responsibilities of the federal government, was to deliver the mail. Well, it actually ties into this issue because Bernie Sanders wants to use the post office for an area of this proposal. Let's go ahead and listen to the words of Bernie Sanders. This is bite number five.
An additional crisis, but part of this whole situation, is that many poor people don't have access to banking services.
That's right.
Because the big banks are not worried about somebody who, you know, makes 10 bucks an hour. They can't make enough money off of that. So we have got to move toward universal banking through the postal system. You got post offices in almost every community in America. They should be available to provide basic banking services so that people do not have to go into payday lenders.
Okay, so I want to know what you have to say about that. 1-800-684-3110, and we're going to start with Matt. But first, Andy, you said that it's a responsibility of the federal government to deliver the mail. So if we already have the postal system, what about this idea of just running all of the banking system through the post office? You think that would work?
No, of course not. This is another silly idea of Crazy Bernie, as he has been called, to attract people to ideas that he thinks are going to get him a higher rating in the polls than he has been having, given what we now know that Biden is really putting him in a very bad position in terms of his percentage of what Democratic voters will vote for. So he comes up with these harebrained schemes. We're going to cap interest rates at so much, and then we're going to go and we're going to use post offices as banks. I mean, there's an elaborate regulatory system in place in the United States, both in the state and federal governments, on the banking system right now. So what are you going to do with? You're going to go to the post office and line up to do what? Cash a check? I mean, that these kinds of things are harebrained schemes that have no basis in reality and are aimed at just attracting the mob. And that's, and I don't mean the mob in the sense of organized crime, but just the mass of the people who say, yes, that's a great idea. Who can't open a bank account? If you go to a bank, you can open a bank account. If you've got a paycheck, you open a bank account. There's regulatory systems in place to protect you when you do that. What would there be in the post office? Again, more federal government, more federal regulation, the federal government, more and more in your lives. I'm not interested in that.
I'm also concerned the fact of turning to a postal service that has had an impossible time turning a positive balance sheet in there. The revenues are always upside down. So let's turn all over the banking system, the economic system, to that structure. I have concerns about that. But let's hear what you have to say. 1-800-684-3110. Matt's got a slightly different perspective. He's calling from Pennsylvania on line one. Matt, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Yes, hi guys. Thanks for taking my call. I totally agree with your analysis and fiddling with, you know, the private sector and the banking and everything. I don't trust their motives, but I do think this plays right into the narrative of, you know, the Democrats caring about the little guy, and it's the optics of it just alone, I think, is what Bernie and Ocasio-Cortez are going for. I do think that some bank interest rates are excessive, and overdraft fees and everything. So I'm kind of torn on this. Is a tough one for me. I support Trump, yeah, you know, totally, but this is a tough one because the bank fees are really high.
Yeah, I want you to stay on the line here for just a minute, Matt, because I want to ask you a question on this. I totally agree with you, and I think a lot of people are going to have a similar reaction when they hear this, that they want an ability to make credit more affordable. But, you know, we don't force banks to lend, by and large, in this country. And if we are going to put a limit on the interest rate that is made available, I think the ultimate answer for them is that they're going to quit lending to those who actually need access to the credit the most. And then what they're going to do, we saw this really in the healthcare debate, they're going to say, well, the only institution that is capable of governing this and capable of extending credit to the people that need it is the federal government. So, Matt, I would just come back to you and say I completely agree with the sympathy that you're expressing, but I think we would be putting ourselves on a path where the only way that any of us would be able to access credit would be through the federal government. If I turn out to be correct, and we'll go to Harry for analysis, but if I'm correct on that, I would see that as a huge net negative. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and that's where I'm torn about it, because it's the free market, you know, and banks right. should be able to set their own interest rates, and I'm no economist, but you know, a higher risk should mean higher, you know, interest rates. But just the optics of it is what gets me. Yep. You know, I see what they're going for, you know, and I see what Bernie and AOC is going for, and it's countering those optics is what I think Republicans have always had trouble with, you know, as far as care, showing that they care, you know, about the little guy, even though we all see what Democrat policies do.
I agree with you, Matt, and I appreciate the thoughtful response. I just think it's so important that we actually think these policies through and the actual practical effect that they would have, because I agree, the optics of a cap on an interest rate are appealing. The optics, in many ways, of universal health care sounds appealing. You need health care. We're going to provide it for you, and you just omit the conversation of how to pay for it. And in both situations, the actual practical effect means you don't have access to real health care. You've got a health care card, but you don't have the ability to access actual health care. And in the system, in the situation of credit, you might have a cap on the interest rate, but you can't obtain the credit card in the first place because the bank cannot properly price the risk to give it to you. So you're frozen out of the market altogether. I think it's important for us to educate ourselves on these issues so that we don't just accept the top line argument, that we actually force our federal officials to deal with the actual ramifications of their policies. Okay, we want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to weigh in on this or any other issue. We'll be back after this break. 1-800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Than Bennett in Washington, D.C. We're talking about democratic socialism, or maybe even just socialism in America, and the Loan Shark Prevention Act, the new policy proposal put forward by Senator Bernie Sanders and Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. I want to play another piece of sound from Bernie Sanders, but I do want to take your calls again, 1-800-684-3110. This is Senator Sanders talking about this new proposal and talking about how many people it would impact. This is Byte 10, Senator Sanders.
Today we're telling Wall Street and the payday lenders that enough is enough. Your grotesque and disgusting behavior is not acceptable in America, and we're going to change it. Mm-hmm. And this is an issue that impacts zillions of people all over this country. And I think a lot of people don't even know it. They go into a store and they buy a refrigerator. They don't know that they're paying 26% interest rates.
Okay, Andy, I don't mean to poke fun here. Zillions of people. I mean, I know he's talking tongue-in-cheek a little bit. He thinks it impacts every American. Clearly, it's not zillions of people. There aren't zillions of people on the planet. But I do think it's fear-mongering. Look, he says that you can't go into a store, buy a refrigerator, and they don't know that they're paying 26% interest. But here is what he's not saying, Andy. If that store who's extending credit to the consumer can't properly price the risk, what is that consumer going to walk away with? Andy, they're going to go home without a refrigerator.
That's exactly right. The people who are selling the refrigerator are simply not going to extend the credit, and you don't get the appliance that you need or that you want. Look, there's what Bernie Sanders and Cortez don't understand is that rates such as interest rates of this are controlled by the realities of economics. I'm not an economist. I'm a historian. That's where my training is, and that's what my doctorate is in. But the rate is determined to protect the lender from defaults on an unsecured loan. That's what this really is. When you go to a credit card company or to a bank that extends credit and you put something on your credit card, that interest rate is determined by the reality of the fact that they have extended you credit without any security for that credit. It's based upon your credit rating, and that's an economic reality that is factored into how much you get. So sometimes people with bad credit have got to pay a rate of 25%. Well, that just hasn't been pulled out of the air. It's been determined by the realities of economics that a lender has got that kind of exposure. What I don't like is this Loan Shark Prevention Act, which is the federal government getting involved in economic policies with regard to private lenders that it has no business getting involved in. Stay out of this business. You can't even deliver a letter properly, much less have a bank in a post office.
The other thing that's left out of this conversation a lot of times, Andy, is the fact that consumer credit is at an all-time high. And in many ways, people will bill that as a good thing. You do have access to credit. You are able to acquire the things that you need to live the American lifestyle, and you can have access to the credit. But there's a big danger to that as well. Look, credit needs to be priced appropriately so that defaults are kept down. And in my view, we're at a point where we're in danger of a credit crisis, massive defaults, and a cap on interest rates would escalate that denial of access to credit, in my view. We want to hear from you. 1-800-684-3110. We're going to go right to the phone lines now, and then we'll talk some presidential polling. But we're going to go to Mike calling from Virginia on line 6 on this topic. Mike, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. My question is basically directed at your historian. Basically, we're at this point in time right now where Bernie and AOC are making decisions based on decisions that were made about 10 years ago when we had the housing bubble. And the housing bubble was initiated by what I think was Bill Clinton when he expounded on what President Carter had done about the red line. I would like to hear him discuss this because with some of the research that I've made, sound banking privileges or practices went out of the window during the crash of 29, and we have yet to return to them. And I think if we return to sound banking practices, we won't have pie in the sky dogma from people like AOC and Bernie.
Well, I appreciate that.
That is pie in the sky, Than. When you look at the banking crisis, it was due to the fact that the Democrats insisted that anybody who wanted to could get a loan and get a house, and you couldn't gauge what the risk was. You had to give them a loan, okay? So history proved that to be disastrous because people who couldn't afford it were buying houses with nothing down. They had no skin in the game, and it was a pie in the sky thing, as the caller said, that I'm going to get a house, but I'm not going to have any risk in the house. And I'm going to get it no matter what my credit rating is. Well, the same thing holds true here. I'm going to buy that refrigerator, and you can't charge me more than 15% interest, but I've got the worst credit in the world. I don't pay my debts. I don't keep up with the financial obligations that I have. History repeats itself. You cannot have pie in the sky. This is just pandering to the masses. That's all democratic socialism is, and that's all that Sanders and Ocasio-Cortez are doing in this measure.
And I think it's also a pretty brazen appeal just to voters on a surface level without educating them to the real ramifications of these policy proposals. And Professor Hutchison, I wanted to bring you in on this conversation because I actually think this is something that both parties over the last two decades especially have fallen victim to, of, you know, bank bailouts or extending too big to fail to certain financial institutions. This idea that credit risk should not be priced according to risk has really put us in this place. But the answer, in my view, is certainly not to arbitrarily add regulatory restrictions to that. But Professor Hutchison, maybe elaborate on what Andy talked about, the history of this. How have we gotten to this point?
Well, I think we've gotten to this point precisely because the government has incentivized in the past, going back 20 to 25 years, bad banking practices. So I think the caller was precisely correct in suggesting that Bill Clinton initiated new mortgage policies, which actually encouraged people to purchase houses that they could not afford. Then the banks were assured by the federal government that the federal government would backstop those loans. And so in some cases, we had lending, which made no sense because the banks realized that at the end of the day, the federal government would backstop them. And we did that. We bailed out generally large banks during the 2008 to 2010 mortgage crisis. And so here comes Bernie Sanders and AOC. And so they want to actually multiply the problems that are already embedded in our mortgage and credit system. So in essence, they want to ensure that banks lend more money, if you will, to bad credit risk. This will then lead, in some cases, to potential bank bailouts. And guess what? That means the American taxpayer, hardworking Americans from Michigan to Pennsylvania, will bail out financial institutions. This makes no sense.
Folks, after this break, more of your phone calls on Jay Sekulow Live. It's Open Lines Friday. I see Monty, Phil, and John queued up next. If you want to join them, be a part of the broadcast, the number is 1-800-684-3110. We're going to talk some presidential polling. President Trump is convinced that he's going to be facing off against Joe Biden. We'll see. Long way to go. We'll work through some of those numbers. Again, 1-800-684-3110 to join the broadcast.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
And now your host, Dan Bennett.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Open Lines Friday here on the broadcast, and we're going to go right to them. I do want to talk presidential polls in a little bit here, but Monty's been holding on for a little while now here, so I want to start this segment with Monty calling from Minnesota on line four. Monty, appreciate you hanging on. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Absolutely. Right on. Thanks, Dan. Andy, Harry, how you guys doing?
Good.
Doing very well. Thanks for calling.
I guess my question is for Harry, and he answered half of it, but do you see any problems with taking the limits off of the credit and that the banks will keep dropping their interest rates to compete for that business and we end up in the same situation we were? And I guess the other part of the question is, are we still in a too-big-to-fail situation?
Well, let me take the second question first, and I would agree that it's very likely we are still in a too-big-to-fail situation. So if you look at the number of financial institutions in the United States over the past 10 to 15 years, it has fallen by about 50 to 60%. So that means that there are fewer financial institutions, number one, and these financial institutions are larger. That then increases the risk that political pressure will be brought to bear to bail out a financial institution or a number of financial institutions going forward. So that's number one. Number two, I would point out that low credit scores pose the greatest risk to credit card companies. And so essentially, Bernie Sanders' proposal is asking banks to extend more credit to low credit risk and basically, or individuals with low credit scores, excuse me, so that then exposes the banks to a higher risk of what? Defaults. That means that the American people will be asked to backstop these really bad loans. And guess what? It also means that the American people may be asked to backstop shareholders in these financial institutions. So if you look back at the 2008 to 2010 financial crisis, companies like Goldman Sachs did much better than average working people, in part because the government essentially took taxpayer dollars and helped out large financial institutions at the expense of average working people. So Bernie Sanders' proposal essentially is asking for history to repeat itself, and I think the American people should reject this opportunity.
It's a great question, Monty, and I just think it's so important for us to go the extra layer of educating, to think through where these policies actually lead us, as opposed to just consuming the top line headline of a proposal like this. Look, Monty's phone call clearing up gives you an opportunity to be a part of the broadcast. 1-800-684-3110. Two segments to go. We're going to take your calls through each of them. Phil, we're going to start with you when we come back from this break. We're heading into a break, though. Let me just recap for you. I think it's important because Bernie Sanders was running on these ideas the last time, folks. And quite frankly, if it weren't for the superdelegate structure inside the Democrat primary, he would have been the nominee in the last election. That superdelegate structure kept him out and made Hillary Clinton the nominee. But these ideas do have traction inside the Democrat primary. Now, the latest round of polling shows that maybe that's shifting. I'm not quite sure. It's very early in the process. You can't read too much into this. But Joe Biden appears to have opened up an 18-point lead in New Hampshire. And three polls from last week has his lead nationally from anywhere from 21 points to 32 points. That's an enormous lead at this stage. It is somewhat similar to what Donald Trump did when he entered the Republican primary last time around. Now, a lot may change, but it is certainly a strong start for Joe Biden. Let's see what he says on some of these proposals. He might be tempted to speak favorably to them. That's going to be an interesting thing to follow. When we come back from the break, though, we'll go right to your phone calls. We're going to start with Phil, 1-800-684-3110, if you want to join Phil, and we will be back right after this.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live, talking 2020 politics and specifically socialism in America. It seems to be a fairly mainstream proposal inside the Democrat primary right now. Will it play in the primary? Would it play in the general? I have my doubts that it would play in a general. I mean, you're talking about a time where the economic numbers in the Rust Belt, the unemployment numbers are at all-time positive levels, low unemployment, positive economic numbers. It's hard for me to imagine that a socialist message is going to turn those states blue, but it certainly appears that either through genuine belief or political strategy, whichever it may be, that Bernie Sanders believes that is the solution. He's going to be running on that in 2020. Can he get the nomination with a policy like this? I'm not sure. It's going to be interesting to find out. I certainly have my concerns about the proposals. However, I want to know what you think. So we're going to start with Phil on line one. And if you want to join Phil, the number is 1-800-684-3110. But Phil, calling from New York on line one, what say you? Is it time for socialism in America?
I say that if the Democrat socialists prevail in 2020 and gain control of this government, they will implement a delusional socialist agenda, which can only be financed not by a bailout, but by something much, much more ominous, which is called a bail-in. And what that means, and it is already can already legally be done, what that means essentially is that the government has the right to confiscate up to 71% of your assets, your bank account, your retirement account, and so forth. And that is not victimizing the rich. That is victimizing the middle and the working class. It's called a bail-in. Thank you for listening.
Appreciate the call, Phil. Appreciate you hanging on. I'm going to bring Andy in on this question. But Andy, I do think the vein of Phil's concern that I would echo and that I would share is anytime you're going to give the federal government more power, we've seen this in our cases against the IRS, when the federal government has too much power over your life, over your finances, over your resources, they can then start to try to influence other aspects of your life, whether it's your religious belief, whether it's your free expression, your speech. We saw that in the targeting of conservatives through the IRS case. But look, I think Phil is onto something, at least in the vein of we have to be cautious about how much control we give the federal government. It's not always a benevolent a machine, that federal bureaucracy.
No, and I agree with the caller when you talk about this bail-in. Some time ago, there was a situation in which Cyprus, the island republic in the Mediterranean, had a situation of an economic crisis they had decided that, well, the way we're going to do this is we're going to get into the bank accounts of individual people and we're going to confiscate a quantity of money from those individual bank accounts. And that's going to make up for the financial crisis that the government of Cyprus faces. So that, what the caller said, was a real possibility and actually was threatened to have happen in Cyprus. That did not ultimately work out. But we have got to realize that government and government control and government intervention is not the solution to problems. Historically, socialism is a failure. Look at what happened in Britain after the Second World War. Look at what happened in the Middle East and the Middle European, Central European, Eastern European countries. Which one prospered under socialism? None of them. And yet Sanders and Cortez are seeking to introduce that into the United States in large measure. And these pandering schemes like capping interest rates, free college, wipe out student loan debt, free universal health care, using the post office as a bank, are all just grabs by the federal government into our lives. My statement is, stay out of my life, federal government, and let me handle my own affairs.
Well, Andy, I think even those who are proposing these ultimately know that they're probably out of step with the majority of the American people. I mean, I think back to the Green New Deal proposal that was put forward again by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, but it was put forward by Senator Ed Markey in the United States Senate. And when it actually was brought to the floor for a vote by Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, none of the members who sponsored it were willing to vote in favor of it. Now, they didn't vote against it either. They voted present. But all of the presidential candidates, Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, Cory Booker, Kirsten Gillibrand, even Bernie Sanders, voted present on that proposal. I think they were afraid of the political ramifications that would have ensued had they voted for it. I mean, I don't think any of them probably want political advice from me, but if they were looking to separate themselves from the field, I think one of them probably should have voted for it and then just embraced it and tried to separate themselves in the primary process. But I think there's a realization, even among those who are putting these proposals forward, that they will not work and that the American people know they will not work. However, John has a different view. John is calling from Virginia on line three. John, I really appreciate you calling in. I'm interested in what you have to say here. Welcome to the show. You're on Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, I appreciate you taking my call. I was just curious to ask, and you know, certainly I agree with the anti-stance, but what I'd like to understand a little bit better, it doesn't sound like to me that Bernie Sanders is saying that banks have to give loans to people with bad credit. He's saying, as I understand what you said, is that 15% is going to be the cap. Now, to me, 15% is a pretty high interest rate already. So what I want to know is how, if that's the case, if, you know, it seems a little oxymoronical to expect people who have bad credit and can't really afford to pay back loans, one, maybe you shouldn't give them a loan, but secondly, if you do, charging them as much to make a payment as they're paying on the interest every month is never going to allow them to get into a better financial situation. So
yeah,
to me, I just wonder at what point does that become usury and restrict, you know, people from being able to advance and attain the American dream?
Yeah, man, it's a great question, John, and quite frankly, I'm really grateful that you're thinking through it to this level, because actually, that is the exact rationale that has me concerned about this proposal, and I'll lean on Harry's expertise to grow into greater detail. But it is a question not of just how much the interest rate is going to be. It's a question of whether or not someone on the border of having access to that credit is going to be granted the loan in the first place. You said the bill won't mandate that credit would be issued. I would suspect that that is the next step, but let's just stipulate that for a minute. If a bank can only charge 15% for an interest rate and they know that the person that is applying for that credit card or that consumer loan is a higher credit risk than that, John, what is going to happen? What is going to happen is they're not going to be issued the credit. So you're not going to lower the burden of the interest rate. You're just going to deny that American access to the credit. They won't be able to get the credit card. They won't be able to get the refrigerator. They won't be able to get the consumer loan. It will. That is the the effect. They will be denied credit, not have an interest rate lowered. But Harry, I'm glad that John's thinking through this, because I think so many times we consume headlines. We think, yes, let's lower the burden on those who can't afford to pay it. And we don't think through the first step in the process, that so many of these people would not have the access to credit that we've become accustomed to in this country.
I think that is correct. So credit denial is a major factor in analyzing Bernie Sanders' bad idea. With lower interest rates, so let's say we lower the interest rate down to 5%, does that ensure that sufficient credit will then be made available to individuals who have low credit scores? Of course not. And so those individuals who actually need credit and they have a low credit score, they will then seek out illegal sources. So although this bill is called the Loan Shark Prevention Act, I think it would be better named the Loan Shark Advancement Act, because essentially individuals with low credit scores would be forced to seek credit from illegal sources. So that's number one. Number two, it's important to note that ideas have consequences, and bad ideas have bad consequences. Essentially, if we adopt progressive ideas, this will do a couple of things. Number one, it will redistribute power and wealth to the rich. So if you look, for instance, at the 2016 campaign, who voted for Hillary Clinton? Essentially, she got disproportionate votes from wealthy and rich Americans, because they don't believe, essentially, that average working people should have control over their own lives, that they should be able to make their own decisions. Bernie Sanders' proposal is essentially more of the same. He's basically saying to individuals who are lower income individuals, by and large, people with low credit scores, I am going to lower your interest rate by fiat. However, what he's not telling them, of course, is you will not necessarily have access to credit going forward. That's a problem.
It's going to be very interesting to see how 2020 plays out. Has the time for socialism in America come? I do not believe it has, but certainly the question is being put forward to voters by Bernie Sanders and by other candidates. We have Michael, Bill, Lou, and Tony. We're going to take all of your phone calls in the next segment of the broadcast. And if you want to try to get in as well, the number is 1-800-684-3110. If we have time, we'll go through some of the fundraising numbers for these candidates. It's going to be quite a race, a very expensive race. But 1-800-684-3110 if you want to get in on the last segment of Jay Sekulow Live. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. Last segment of the broadcast, going to get right to your phone calls, going to try to get to everyone who is hanging on the line. We're going to start with Tony calling from California on line 6. Tony, thanks for calling the broadcast. You are on the air.
Hi, Dave. So my thing is, where they're saying that democratic socialism is the same thing as socialism. They're just, you know, putting a facade with the people. It's the same thing. It's like the same pig with lipstick. So people got to understand that socialism and democratic socialism is the same thing. I'm from Cuba. I know what's happening in this country. I know where it's going to. And they're really changing the kids' mind to go left to socialism. And that's not good for this country.
Tony, I appreciate your call. I appreciate the firsthand experience being from Cuba and having experienced this. I think we have other examples around the world. You know, Venezuela is a little bit different, but you see how these type of economic structures play out. If we don't learn the lessons from history, we will repeat them. And we are not at that point yet. But folks, these are the early steps of where socialism and socialistic policies lead. You can say it's Democrat socialism, but either way, those economic policies lead to the problems that Tony's talking about and the problems that he experienced in Cuba. So great call, Tony. I appreciate you hanging on the line. Let's go to Michael calling from California on line 2. Michael, thank you for hanging on. You are on the air.
Okay, well, I just have a few quick statements. One is I'm a former government employee, and I know that the most inefficient organization there is the bureaucracy. And second, I wouldn't put my money in one of these nationalized banks through the post office. I wouldn't buy from somebody that I couldn't pay directly to, and I wouldn't put something up for sale and sell it through the financing of such a bank as the nationalized bank, which is what I believe it is. And yeah, I don't know how dumb they think we are.
I appreciate the call, Michael. I have to tell you, I agree with you. If we were going to run the banking system through the post office, I don't think I would use that structure either. I don't think we're going to get there, though. I think that's an idea that does not have very much support, even in Washington, D.C. Bill is calling on line 4 from Wyoming with a similar comment. I want to bring Andy into the conversation because he loves this postal service / banking idea. But let's go to Bill's call first. Bill, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Two things, and I think part of it is a slippery slope argument. Correct me if I'm wrong. First of all, the idea of a credit rating is a fact of whether or not you're capable of paying back the money that you've already been given and zeroing out the account. Next, putting accounts into the post office, that's centralizing everything, like the gentleman said, plus the fact, what's to prevent the post office from, shall we say, borrowing from those accounts to pay up their debts, as well as the government deciding, well, if they can do it, so can we. And that's terrible, because if I remember right, like about 30 years ago, didn't the government do that with Social Security? Am I right or am I wrong?
Yeah, you're pretty much right there. First of all, on credit rating, Harry touched on this earlier in the broadcast, but your credit rating is a determination of your credit worthiness, and a financial institution will consider that as well as other factors to price whether or not they will give you credit and what rate they will apply to you. And again, I think Bernie Sanders is leaving out the first component of that. He is just assuming that the financial institution is going to extend you credit. If there was a cap of 15%, their decision would be to not extend credit in very many situations, and I think that would be a net negative. But Andy, I want to come back to you on your favorite idea here. This idea of running the financial institutions through the, as Will, our producer, said, the already illiquid postal service. That sounds like a great idea to me. I don't understand why you're not on board.
I don't know. I guess in my old age, I'm getting unable to understand the niceties of democratic socialism, and I should be more cognizant of how significant and important that is. Well, that's just rubbish. The reality is this: if the post office can't even deliver a letter across town, how in the world is it going to handle savings accounts of people and checking accounts where they put money in? Then the post office is going to dip into that money to pay its own debts, just like Social Security dipped into the trust funds and now is facing financial failure because it did that. I think the less government regulation, the better. We don't need what Bernie and Sanders and Ocasio-Cortez are trying to do is, again, expand the reach of the federal government. Interest rates are set because of economic realities based upon the risk that the lender takes in giving you an unsecured loan. And that 15% is not an accurate figure for some people. For some people, it may be. For other people who pay their obligations on a timely basis, it's not an accurate figure, and it shouldn't be foisted on the public. As far as the post office goes, I say, well, the thing we need to do is focus on delivering the mail in a timely fashion and making a profit in the post office, which I don't think they've done in as long as I can remember, much less making them into banks. That's crazy.
Andy, any chance your opinion on this is influenced by the Postal Service handling of recent letters you've sent? I heard a rumor maybe you'd had a problem.
I sent two letters from Atlanta, Georgia to someplace in the last 2 weeks, and both of them have been lost. And they haven't surfaced yet, and I had to stop payment on the checks that were included in those letters. Two letters in the last 2 weeks have been lost by the Postal Service. How in the world can that happen?
Imagine if the checks in those letters were tied to checking accounts that were actually also run through the Postal Service. That might have compounded your problem just a little bit. Let's go to Lou quickly, calling on line 5 from New York. Lou, I appreciate you holding on. You'll be the last call of the broadcast today and this week. You are on the air. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Well, thank you for inviting me on the air, and I want to thank all of you for what you do. It's insightful and enjoyable. Couple of things. I find that people like Bernie Sanders... the terminology used by some is leftists or socialists. They feel a desire and a passion to actually control people. So all these proposals he makes are in an effort to control people because people don't have the ability to think for themselves. Now, what I think about sometimes when I hear this kind of stuff is, you know, we spent over the years billions on education, billions in the country. Yet we're still worried about people being able to identify their financial needs properly and figure out how to get lower interest rates, which you can default on a credit card. Anyway, you can default on credit. If you can't pay, you can call up a company. They'll fix it for you, and you can go to square one again. My sister did it. My son-in-law and daughter did it. Not that I'm proud of that because I never have. But the point is, you could do it right now. So you can get credit, that's number one. You can default on the credit, and you can get credit again. Okay, those things are all available right now. But that's not their point. Their point is, we want to control this. We want to bring it into the government, just like they brought in all of the educational loans. So who's on the hook now for the $1 trillion in educational loans? Taxpayers. People that
Lou, I'm only jumping in because we're down to about 40 seconds left in the broadcast. I wanted to actually get Harry's thoughts on that. If I ran out of time, I think I know what Harry would say. Look, this is the component of it that concerns me the most, too, because we've seen the abuses from the IRS. We've seen the abuses from the FBI. You have to control the amount of power that you give to the federal government. We're very blessed to live in this country. But yet, at the same time, we have to remain vigilant about the power that we give to the federal government. And in my view, turning this kind of economic power over to the federal government is a recipe for disaster. We'll see how it plays out in this 2020 cycle. These are the issues that are going to be front and center. It's going to be President Trump against someone. He thinks it's going to be Joe Biden, but Bernie Sanders has other ideas. We'll see how it all plays out, and we will talk to you next week on Jay Sekulow Live.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.